Welcome to Theology Simply Profound, a podcast of Reformed Forum. This is episode 164.
We all know some of the problems that occurred after Pentecost. Thousands of people were added very quickly to be identified with the way. And people come with problems. People tried to gain favor by lying about how much money they donated. Widows and orphans were overlooked because they were Gentiles. There was tension between ethnic groups. Those who had been under the old covenant didn't want to change. People lied, sued, gossiped, committed sexual immorality, and the list goes on and on. Sound familiar? These are the same types of problems we have in the church today. People are prone to the same sins generation after generation. As bad as all of these sins are, perhaps the most depressing is when a professing believer reveals himself to be only professing and not a believer. The elders and deacons try and teach them the gospel. Their friends plead with them to believe the gospel, but they often just walk away. What can be even more frustrating is when someone claims to believe the gospel, but has actually embraced a false gospel. Sometimes this is easily understood. Other times, the false doctrine is so subtle that it's hard to explain. So what do we do with a professing Christian who believes a false gospel and he will not listen to the truth? How do we win them back? Can we win them back? And how does this affect our own faith? We will discuss these and other questions today on Theology Simply Profound.
Welcome back to another episode of Theology Simply Profound. My name is Bob Tarullo. I serve as pastor here at Westminster Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Indian Head Park, Illinois. And with me, as always, is Rob McKenzie. Rob's an elder here at Westminster. He's also an MDiv student at Reformed Theological Seminary in Orlando. Hey, Rob.
Hey.
Mr. Famous.
Yes.
Mr. Famous.
You're the third person that said that to me this week.
Really?
You are.
Yeah.
You really are.
Yeah, so
I think somebody's paying them, I think.
Yeah, your wife probably was another one.
She was,
and your cat.
Yeah.
And your cat was in.
No, my cats keep looking at me going, not yet.
Not yet. So I say that because Rob just got finished recording with another podcast. Can you believe that? He's going out on us. So he got interviewed about his book on Veracity Hill. Veracityhill.com. Only one dot there.
How many dots are there?
VeracityHill.com with Kirk Jarrows. And that's out of West Chicago, right?
We're recording in West Chicago, which is a far west suburb. It was the next stop, I think, was Iowa. Because I drove out there and.
Far west suburb. So it's past Naperville. Is it past Aurora?
Yes. Well, it's a little more north, but yes.
Okay. Well, way out there then.
It's past Warrenville.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I had to get directions from a scarecrow.
Two Brothers Brewing.
I started breaking out in hives because I was so far away from the city.
Well, did we see that on the video then? So this is actually videoed as well. So if you go to
Facebook Live,
Facebook and look up Veracity Hill, you can see episode number 156, and you can see Kirk Jarrows there holds up Rob's book and goes back and forth, the video back and forth, kind of like Reform Forum does that, you know?
They do that. It is a lot like that.
And you'll get to see Rob talk about his book as well as covenant theology more generally.
Yeah, a lot of it was talking about covenant theology in general and dispensationalism to a degree. For the rapid fire question alone, there was a minute of rapid fire questions in the middle.
Okay.
That alone is worth the listen or watching the podcast.
If you do say so yourself.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
Because you just said it yourself.
Questions. Yeah. I did just say it myself. It was fun. And yeah, check that out.
Yeah, check it out. VeracityHill.com with Kirk Jarrows.
Kirk runs Defenders Media is the name of the organization. It's an apologetics ministry. They do a lot of stuff, a lot of evidential stuff. I've actually been to their conference a couple of times selling for IVP, mm-hmm. which is how I got to know Kurt a little bit. And they do this podcast, and it was fun.
All right, so what are we up to today? We're still on Pilgrim's Progress, right? Second to last.
Second to last, yeah.
We're getting close to the end, not doing the second part at this point in time, as we mentioned last
Correct.
Time. So pilgrims meet up with, no, they don't meet up with him.
Well, they had already been talking with Ignorance. Yeah, they'd already been talking with him.
They kind of turn back and say, hey.
Yeah, well, they determined that it wasn't time to talk with him. And that's, sometimes you have to do that with people. Sometimes people are not ready to discuss their problems, whether it's sin mm-hmm. or it's bad theology or whatever it is. Sometimes it's better to just, this is what Ecclesiastes, there's a time and a place, or Proverbs, mm-hmm. you talk to a fool according to their folly, or you don't talk to a
right.
fool according
yeah.
to their folly. Sometimes the situation and where the person is mentally or emotionally will dictate when you talk to them. And now they've determined, okay.
Yeah, he's kind of like been sort of just behind them.
Yeah, he's tagging along.
tagging along, but
he's
at a distance.
The little brother that...
But at a distance. He's not like, you know, right there. I mean, you can barely see him. Barely see him. Because you don't hear about him when he's just sort of off in the background. But
right, he's there.
And they turn around and they're like, hey, let's chat. Let's talk. What do they talk about? I mean, ignorant stuff?
Yes, they're going to talk about ignorant stuff.
no, they talk about salvation.
Right. Well, which is the problem is that ignorance has a works-based salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to help him understand that that's wrong. And he's going to be in trouble if he doesn't repent and believe. You're supposed to go in through the narrow gate. You're supposed mm-hmm. to go to the cross. You lose your burden because of what Christ has done, not because of what you do. And that's not what his family, that's not what his town believes. They don't go, that's too far. That's too much work,
mm-hmm.
which is always interesting when, no, I don't have enough faith to believe that. So I'll just get in by my own works.
Yeah,
not good.
I like how they approach him. I was trying to get to it a moment ago before you started telling us about the actual conversation. But
sorry.
No. I couldn't find it. But now I got it in the book.
Okay.
So Christian says, come away, man. Why do you stay so behind? Ignorant says, I take my pleasure in walking alone, even a more great deal than in company. Unless I like it, the better. And then said Christian to Hopeful, but softly, did I not tell you he cared not for our company? But however, come up and let us talk away the time in this solitary place. Then, directing his speech to Ignorance, he said, come, how do you? How stands it between God and your soul now? Well, there's a great way to open up a conversation, right?
Yeah.
And but we're not to take away from this like that all loners are ignorant, are we?
Wow. That was quite the turn. So,
well, and he says, I like to walk alone even more, a great deal with than right. in the company. Right. But and that's how he describes him, or that's how Bunyan is describing Ignorant here.
If this was our first interaction with him, then maybe you could draw that conclusion. But he had already, they had already tried to talk to him at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And so this sounds more to me like he's hurt. You know, they wouldn't let him walk with him before, or they didn't want to walk with him before. And now, so he's like, well, I'm fine by myself. now that could be, but it might be making the point that people within the church that isolate themselves, that this is a bad thing. And I do agree that that is a bad thing. However, as an introvert, there are many times that I like my alone time
mm-hmm.
and there's nothing wrong with that.
That's what I was getting at, that there isn't anything wrong with having that some solitude,
right?
That we're not to take away from this. You know, when you come here and you got Pilgrim or Christian and Hopeful saying, hey, Christian or hey, Ignorant, and Ignorant is, you know, kind of like, I want to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, those people that do take their time to be alone, that's okay in
right.
the Christian world. But if you have people on their own too often
yeah.
and are unwilling to interact with the Church of Jesus Christ and the body of Christ, then there are potential problems with that.
Yeah.
And we do need to be careful of things of that nature as church leaders, especially for those in the outskirts, and to go toward them and see how that goes. But, or to bring them closer is what I meant to say there.
Yeah.
How do you, how stands it between God and your soul now? What's Christian or what's Ignorant up to? What's he dealing with?
ignorant?
Ignorant, yeah. That's Christian asking ignorant.
Right, okay, all right. I thought you were okay.
Yeah.
Well, he's just trying to open up the conversation to basically, where's your standing in Christ? What do you believe? Which is a great way to, when you're in discussions with somebody where somebody's talking about arguing with Christianity. Now, ignorance is not exactly doing this, but when somebody argues with Christianity or about Christianity, I often want to say, well, what do you believe? What do you believe? Mm-hmm. You know, when same thing, you know, where is your heart standing before the Almighty God now? yeah, people don't like it when I talk like that. And
how stands it between how God stands and it your between soul you? Now?
But it's a great way to help people understand that either they don't know what they believe. Here they are arguing against Christianity. Mm-hmm. They don't even know what they believe. Mm-hmm. Or it forces them to have to admit that they believe something, which many times people will argue against religion or Christianity. And it's this, well, I believe what I want to believe and you believe what you want to believe. And that's, you know, that's how we should leave it. And you shouldn't be telling me that I'm wrong. But when you can admit, get somebody to admit what they believe, they're automatically excluding anyone that doesn't agree with them. And so I find it's good to bring people to the place where they have to admit that they actually hold something that is in contrast to someone else. And so while they might not be coming to me trying to evangelize me, it gives me the opportunity to say, well, why, you know, you're right, we do have a disagreement. Why do we disagree? Why do you believe what you do? And my main goal is to bring them to the place of authority. Mm-hmm. What is our authority? Either it's us or it's something outside of us. We have to finally bring them to the place of the Word of God. If we can ever get somebody to admit that authority is outside of them, we can go to the Word of God. But if they're always going to hold that, well, it doesn't matter. People can believe whatever they want to believe, because who are you to tell me that I'm wrong? You believe what you want to believe. I believe what I want to believe. If that's how somebody's going to believe, no amount of arguing's going to work, because where's your source of truth?
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is kind of what I see Christian mm-hmm. doing. He's bringing ignorance to the place of, okay, well, tell me what you believe.
Yeah, and he does that, and Christian responds at in various ways throughout the conversation. It's a very short and back and forth at first. Mm. Let's see, he says, well, I hope well, for I'm always full of good motions that come into my mind to comfort me as I walk. And Christian's like, well, what good motions? Pray tell us. Why, I think of God in heaven. And Christian's like, well, so do devils.
you I know? Love that.
So do devils and damned souls. They think of God in heaven too, quite differently, but they think of him.
Yeah, you have to be careful when you use that one.
yeah. But here he's really trying to get at the heart, like you were saying, at the heart of what ignorance does believe in, because he eventually brings him to the place of saying your feelings, your thoughts need to agree about yourself, need to agree with the Word of God.
Right.
Right. And that's where you're getting at the authority thing. So he thinks well of himself and the things he's doing because he says, because my heart tells me so. And Christian is saying, but does it agree with the Word of God? But right. does it agree with the Word of God over and over again?
Right. And that's, you know, my scenario yep. first was with somebody that's actually not a Christian, but ignorant is saying he's a Christian.
Yes.
So you're already at that point. You know, you're one step closer to being able to say what we believe has to be derived from the Word of God. It has to be derived from something outside of us. And any Christian mm-hmm. should agree to that.
Yeah.
But Christian proves that ignorant is not looking at the Word of God as his source of truth. He's looking at his own heart.
Right. And here's one good point in that with regard to the thoughts respecting ourselves, ignorance asks what be good thoughts respecting ourselves, because Christian had been challenging him mm-hmm. and Christian besides, well, of course, such as agree with the Word of God. And then ignorance responds, when does our thoughts of ourselves agree with the Word of God? And Christian then has a lengthy response. He says, when we pass the same judgment upon ourselves, which the Word passes. To explain myself, the Word of God saith of persons in a natural condition, there is none righteous, there is none that doth agree or doth good. It saith also that every imagination of the heart of man is only evil, and that continually, and again, the imagination of a man's heart is evil from his youth. Now then, when we think thus of ourselves, having sense thereof, then are our thoughts good ones, because according to the word of God, because it goes along with the word of God, it agrees with. And then ignorance responds, I will never believe that my heart is thus bad. Well, there we go. Well, wait a minute.
And then Hopeful's in the background, just putting his hand in his head, shaking her back. Oh.
Christians, well, therefore, thou never hadst one good thought concerning thyself and thy life. But let me go on. As the word passeth a judgment upon our hearts, so it passeth a judgment upon our ways. And when our thoughts of our hearts and ways agree with the judgment with the word giveth of both, then are both good because agreeing thereto. Make out your meaning, ignorance says. Why, the word of God saith that man's ways are crooked ways, not good, but perverse. It saith, they are naturally out of the good way, and that they have not known it. Now, when a man thus thinketh of his ways, I say, when he doth sensibly and with heart humiliation thus think, then hath he good thoughts of his own ways, because his thoughts now agree with the judgment of the word of God. And then that kind of conversation goes back and forth. Ignorance asks again, what are good thoughts concerning God? So he starts with what are good thoughts concerning ourselves, and then the conversation transitions to what are good thoughts concerning God, and now Christian will respond similarly with regard to the same thing, always bringing it back to the word of God to press ignorance back to the word of God over and over again until ignorance is just simply unwilling to move past it. He proves himself, as you said in your introduction, to be one who claims to be a professing believer who only professes but no longer believes.
Yeah. And it's interesting because ignorance ends up basically accusing Christian of antinomianism.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't say it in so many words, but he doesn't. Yeah.
But which is great, because if when you're preaching the gospel right is when somebody accuses you of antinomianism.
Yeah.
Because our salvation is not of us. Salvation is of Christ. And the faith and the repentance that we have as true Christians is a gift to us brought by the Holy Spirit in regeneration. And we don't have anything to do with our salvation except the fact that we need it. We don't add anything to our salvation except for the sin that we need forgiven. And so when we say repent and believe because it is all of Christ, and somebody says, well, you're antinomian, okay, great. Now don't start living in sin and not caring. That's true antinomianism.
Right, right. And that's what ignorance tries to pull upon Christian and hopeful, who's obviously there as well. And because ignorance is what? Would you have us trust to what Christ in his own person has done without us? This conceit would loosen the reins of our lust and tolerate us to live as we list. For what matter how we live if we may be justified by Christ's personal righteousness from all when we believe it?
Yeah.
All right. So at one point previously to that statement, ignorance had said, and this is where Christian goes off on him essentially. He essentially says that Christ's merit, his work on the cross, makes our works acceptable. So it's the Christian's works that become acceptable because of Christ's. That's essential. Mm. So you aren't trusting in Christ's work solely. You're trusting that Christ will make your work good and that he'll accept your work then. So, and that's what Christian reacts to.
Yeah.
And we see various, forms of this type of false gospel throughout the history of the church, of course. But essentially, our faith is not a work, right, that God accepts. It's an instrument, as we call it confessionally and catechetically. It's an instrument that God uses, our faith, that is, to connect us, so to speak, to the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And it's a Christian always brings ignorance back to the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the work of Jesus Christ, the merit of Jesus Christ alone. And he does that throughout this section. And that's what's really helpful here. At first I was wondering where he's going with it. Obviously he's talking to someone who's ignorant, but I was like, how's he going to get around this and this and this? And then he brings it home over and over and over again, just sort of, you know, it's like slam dunks it.
Yeah, the method of his madness is to bring ignorance to the place of hopelessness. And he needs to bring them to the place where he's afraid for his own soul. He needs to realize that his works mean nothing and that he must have Christ and Christ alone. That place of, there's nothing I can do. Mm-hmm. What can I do? Nothing. Repent. But you're commanded to repent and believe. So that's what Christians try and do, is bring him to that place.
Yeah. Of a humility.
Yeah.
And what's in the end, before we transition to the next section, which hopeful helps us do, I'm getting all messed up. Hopeful enters into the conversation, with ignorance here. And because ignorance asks about the authority and, you know, Christian have been talking about the word of God and Hopeful responds with the language of revelation. Mm. He says, ask him if ever he had Christ revealed to him from heaven. And ignorance is, what? You are a man of revelations? I believe that what both you and all the rest of you say about that matter is the fruit of a distracted brain. Why, what? My man? Hopeful responds, Christ is so hid in God from the natural apprehensions of all flesh that he cannot by any man be savingly known unless God the Father reveals him to them. Ignorance says, that is your faith, but not mine. Yet mine I doubt not, in as good as yours, though I have not in my head so many whimsies as you. Whimsies. So, right. So now we have, obviously, ignorance's faith is not in biblical Christianity. It's not in Jesus Christ. He is not relying on the word of God for revelation, mm-hmm. for understanding in any way. And he reveals that. And that's what the conversation has brought them to.
Yeah. It's interesting. What do you think about this? You know, because Christian is trying to bring him to a place of fear.
Yeah.
So that he trembles, like you're saying. But how is fear in and of itself from God? Because God has not given us the spirit of fear.
Yeah, well, those are two different fears going on there, yeah. I think. In this sense, the fear of God is often, we talk about it in terms of an awe, respect, awe, A-W-E. And not a sense of cowering fear, or a fear of this world, and like a spirit of fear is that language that the apostles use is a spirit of this, of fearing the things that can happen to us in this world. Whereas the fear of God that Christian is talking about and Hopeful are talking, actually it's Hopeful I think now, talks about, because that is where the conversation of ignorance and Hopeful and Christian lead to. So now in the movement of the story, ignorance is kind of gone. He's behind them now. Again, they're not talking with him, and they move on to, because there's another hymn, right? There's another mm-hmm. poem mm-hmm. that happens here about ignorance.
Right.
And now they talk about the fear of God, because they realize that ignorance is just blinded to it, and Hopeful, Christian, Hopeful. Who is it?
I don't know. Do you need a scorecard?
I'm looking at the book. That's the problem. Hopeful asks, how will you describe right fear? And Christian responds, true or right fear is discovered by three things. By its rise, it is caused by saving convictions for sin. Two, it driveth the soul to lay fast hold of Christ for salvation. And three, it begetteth and continueth in the soul a great reverence of God. his word and ways, keeping it tender and making it afraid to turn from them to the right hand or to the left, to anything that may dishonor God, break its peace, grieve the spirit, or cause the enemy to speak reproachfully. And Hopeful says to this, well said. I believe you have said the truth. Are we now almost got past the enchanted ground? Right. So,
right.
So he asked the question about the fear, and that conversation is going to continue. Hopeful is just wondering, you know, hey, where are we? Christian's like, hey, wait a minute. Do you not want to talk about this stuff anymore? And Hopeful's like, well, no, that's not, no, I just want to know where we are. It's like, I just want to find out where we are on the map. Okay. Yeah. Don't mess with me, man. I'm okay. Christian's explanation of fear, and especially that third one, I think,
yeah,
really gets at and links it back to ignorance, because it's that reverence, that's fear, reverence, mm-hmm. awe to the word. And you see that ignorance had none of that. He was unwilling to submit himself. That's, you know, reverence is going to submit yourself to someone who is greater than you. And that the word of God is what God speaks to us. And there's no reverence, no awe before God and his word, his ways, keeping it tender and making it afraid to turn from them. You know, there should be a healthy fear when we turn away from God's word, right? In the sense that, uh-oh, right? I mean, that's the sense of when we sin, there should be a fear that we are, oh, we better not get too far away. We better repent and turn back to our God right now. There's a healthy fear that comes there. But there's also that reverence and that awe that comes just before before a holy God and what God has revealed in himself and of himself, rather, in his word.
Yeah, it's interesting, because I was thinking before when I was reading that, when I was thinking, you know, to place ignorance, this character, in our church, it's like, we're not going to find this character in our church, because somebody that is saying, I believe in works, that my works have, you're not going to find that. Not for long anyway. But the thing is, he is in our churches.
In a different way.
It is us. How often do we think, we think about our sin. I've failed. I failed here. Now I've got to go do something to make up for it. I think that's a natural Christian problem, mm-hmm. that we think, well, I know I've done these bad things. It's our penance.
We need to make up for it.
We have a natural inclination to want to do penance, because we have a natural inclination to want to actually do something for our salvation. Because if we can do that, if we can put our hook onto something and say, okay, I've done that, we can then have a tangible confidence for salvation.
Yeah.
But Scripture's telling us, no, stop. You don't look to yourself for salvation. Now, we can look to the fact that we believe what we believe. You know, what do we do when we doubt our salvation? We go to the cross. And we say, well, do I believe this? Yes. I mean, it's the people that are grievous over their sins that you can see the real work of the Holy Spirit in. The people that are saying, I can't be a Christian because I sin too much. And you say, well, do you want sin? No, I hate it. Well, don't doubt your salvation, because that's the sign of salvation, that you hate your sin. And if we really knew our sins, all of our sins, we'd be destroyed. So it is interesting, Bunyan bringing this character in, focusing on someone, because why would he be in his church? This people that believes that you can be saved by faith or by works, faith and works. No, not a Bunyan's church. But I think he is thinking of Christians that are weak and just can't get past the fact that something that we do can't have some merit. And this, but of course, I mean, not that ignorance is in any way a Christian. He's not. He's a false believer with a false gospel.
He is.
And that's why I think Bunyan brings us to the next character. It's to kind of sticking with the theme of people within the church.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that they're not There's things that they're not believing for the gospel. Mr. Temporary is the next guy.
Temporary.
And Mr. Temporary, I mean, yeah, it's kind of...
Was he Mr. Temporary in yours?
He is today.
Okay.
Have some respect.
I'm sorry. The Reverend Temporary. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
He lived near Hopeful in the town of Graceless. It was just 2 miles off of Honesty. And he lived next door to Turnback. He had come under conviction of his sins and was going to go on pilgrimage, but he started to be influenced by Mr. Self-Save.
Save Self.
Save Self, sorry.
Yes, Mr. Save Self.
So Mr. Save Self. And after that, he stopped his acquaintance with Christian.
With Christian?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. No.
I mean, that's the story that we're given of him. So he's convicted of his sins. I mean, that's true. He is truly convicted of his sins. And he's going to go on pilgrimage. So he starts to go on pilgrimage, but then he starts to come under some bad influence.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's obviously temporary.
Yes.
Right. So we're.
I don't know where you got that from.
Yeah.
So naturally, of course, you know, in the days of church growth that we're in, you don't want to lose anybody and you can't lose people. So you have to make sure that everything you do meets their needs. So if you have somebody in your church that you're thinking, well, this person is not adhering to the truth of the word of God, you probably just need to change the way you're teaching. So that way they don't leave. Isn't this modern day church philosophy?
Oh, goodness, I hope not.
Yeah, I think it actually is.
I'm sure it might be. Yeah. It's not in the circles we run in, thankfully.
No, it's not.
You know, not if someone is struggling with the things that we're teaching, we really do the best we can. We sit with the people, we minister to them one-on-one, if necessary. If it's me, somehow I'm unable to get through, and then it's another elder or someone in the church. I mean, yes, I'm the minister and I'm the one who is meant to minister the word to them, but sometimes things can come differently through different people.
Sure.
And better sometimes. And so I'm not,
Well, everybody in the church needs to be doing what they can to help and counsel each other. I mean, just in conversations over coffee.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if there's someone who's struggling with these things, you would work with them and talk with them. You know, you don't just like say, hey, get out. You know, you're temporary. See ya. and we certainly wouldn't categorize someone as apostatizing until they have said so themselves, really. And said something like, you know, I just don't believe this stuff anymore. Yeah. And you know, be like, well, do you really want to be a member of this church anymore? No. Okay. Well, let's see what that means. And let's see what that means, not just now, but eternally. And see where we are when we go to God's word with that. And, you know, if at the end of that conversation, they still want to no longer, I mean, that's a cordial interaction, right? That doesn't know it's usually not cordial, right?
Usually it's where is so-and-so? They haven't been here for 6 weeks or 3 weeks and we're calling them up and they're not answering the phone.
Right. Yeah. I mean, usually we call within those 3 weeks, but if they're unwilling to interact with us, then you see there's a hardening that has come on and conversations like you have here just don't happen. Right.
Of course.
So, and even conversations like we see here with ignorance don't often happen because not everyone is willing to speak so openly about their struggles. Now, I wish everyone was, so that there could be open and honest discussion about such things. And that would be wonderful because I think we handle open and honest discussion very well. We don't turn people away when people do it and you know, they reveal sins that they're so ashamed of that they struggle with. I think at our church and many a Reformed congregation, maybe let's just say biblical churches, respond well to receiving sinners, right? I mean, we don't turn sinners who are repentant away, especially those who are struggling over various understanding of about the Bible. The Bible's not, you know, every aspect of the Bible is not an easy thing to grasp, especially when you are struggling with your sin in the sense that You know the depth of it. You have that fear. You have that reverence for the word of God. And this is what it says about who I am. When you have someone in your congregation like that, or someone visiting like that, praise God. That is wonderful ministry that God has given to you. Mm-hmm. And that is what we delight in, ministering to that soul, that person who really wants to know the grace of God and to love the grace of God. That's such a delight to embrace that ministry when God gives it to you, and embrace it heartily. That's the joy. And I'm not sure, I kind of may have gone away from your question at first, but that's when you have someone temporary in the congregation, you know, someone that is hardened.
Right.
Right. Well, you don't want them to disrupt the congregation. Okay. Right. I mean, you don't want the unity of the body to go away. Mm-hmm. And so if they're doing that, that's when you might need to actually, you always want someone to be present for the yes. ministry of word, no matter their estate, their eternal right. estate, because we don't know their eternal estate, right? On this side of glory, no matter what they claim, let's just say that about their eternal estate. And, but once there's things of disruption or disunity and they're, you know, being sinful in their actions toward others, that's when things, you know, change.
Yeah. It's interesting because they end up getting in discussion about backsliding.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's really interesting. Hopeful's talking about it. And Hopeful really kind of knows, because when he was in vanity, he kept coming under conviction of sin, but he kept going back to his old life. He didn't want it. And then he'd be around people that would remind him of his sin and his need for Christ. And so he kept, and it's a little different in that he wasn't part of a church that he had made this decision for. This is him coming to salvation. But so here he's talking about what happens when people start backsliding, and he lists, I'm going to list what he talks about. He says, when people are convicted of their sin, they see Christ, but then when the conviction fades, they turn back to their sin.
Yeah.
When the fears of the world overtake their fear of the Lord, when the shame of being religious overtakes them, they don't like being guilty, so they avoid it. The Hopeful can, mm-hmm. That was him. They stop thinking about God, death, and judgment. They stop doing things like praying, avoiding sin, etc. They shun the company of Christians and stop going to church. They then start to nitpick the lives of godly people. The church is filled with hypocrites. Then they start to hang out with the sinners. So here's the progression mm-hmm. that's going on. And you know, we all need to look at a list like that and say, where am I?
Yeah.
And hopefully people can say, you know, I'm not bad. You know, I still sin. I still have fears. I still am not perfect, but I'm not here, which is good. But there are some people that could look at that and say, you know what? Yeah, I am going down that road. You know, I don't go to church. I don't get excited about church like I should. The same convictions is not there, and I'm starting to lose my love for Christ.
And then after that, you know, Hopeful and Christian are good to go back and forth and to encourage each other.
You got to make lists.
Yeah.
They each have to make
there's always lists. Always lists. So Hopeful has those four after the question of Christian, and Christian responds, you are pretty near the busyness. For the bottoms of all is for want of a change in their mind and will, and therefore they are but like the felon that standeth before the judge. He quakes and trembles and seems to repent most heartily, but the bottom of all is the fear of the halter, not of the detestation of the offense, as is evident, because let but this man have his liberty and he will be a thief, and so a rogue still, whereas if his mind was changed, he would be otherwise. So here Christian is responding, saying, yep, I see, I get that. And then he's given another comparison about the backsliding. And Hopeful says, now I have showed you the reasons of their going back. Do you show me, or essentially, would you show me the manner thereof? And Christian says, so willingly. And now he has nine nine manners thereof.
Oh, sure. Okay. No, he's got nine.
But his are much shorter.
Okay.
Right. So it takes up less space than the four of hopeful.
Oh, okay.
But he says, one, they draw off their thoughts all that they may from the remembrance of God, death, and judgment to come. Two, then they cast off by degrees private duties as closet prayer, curbing their lusts, watching over their souls, I think, sorrow for sin, and the like. Three, then they shun the company of lively and warm Christians. Four, after that they grow cold to public duty as hearing, reading, godly conference, and the like. Five, then they begin to pick holes, as we say, in the coats of some of the godly, and that devilishly, that they may have a seeming color to throw religion for the sake of some infirmity they have spied in them behind their backs. Six, then they begin to adhere to and associate themselves with carnal, loose, and wanton men. Seven, then they give way to carnal and wanton discourses in secret, and glad are they if they can see such things in any that are counted honest, that they may the more boldly do it through their example. And eight, after this, they begin to play with little sins openly. And nine, and then, being hardened, they show themselves as they are, thus being launched again into the gulf of misery, unless a miracle of grace prevent it, they everlastingly perish in their own deceivings.
You know, you had mentioned before about people, when we're talking about temporary, you know, we've been called to be shepherds, and the shepherds watch the sheep, keep the sheep, feed the sheep, protect the sheep. And when one sheep goes away, what do? We go after them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Christ does. That's what we're commanded to do. So when people wander and they're gone, they should expect that a shepherd is coming. And we're the under shepherds of Christ. We're not the shepherd, but we are to care for those who wander away. And we do, and it breaks our heart when somebody leaves the church or somebody is in the church and they're like, yeah, I just don't, all these, everybody here is just hypocrites. I don't know if I'm going to stay anymore. It's, there's something else going on there. And so we're going to probe. And the reason why we probe, the reason why we come after, is because we know that in the end, you walk away, you're saying, I no longer believe. I no longer want to be part of this religion. And we're afraid, because we're afraid for your very soul.
Yeah.
And that's what Christian and Hopeful were doing with Ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
They were caring for his soul. They wanted him to come to the place where he understood the gospel and he believed the true gospel, but he didn't.
Yeah.
And so this is Christian and Hopeful pondering, well, what happens? How do people get, you know, Ignorance and temporary? How do people get to that place? And so that's how, it's supposed to be a help for Christians, mm-hmm. that we need to watch our own selves,
yeah.
to see if whether or not we're headed down that road as well. And the remedy is to go back to Christ. It's to go back to the cross. It's to go back to the elementary things of God. We forget our first love, right? We forget what it was like when we first come to Christ. And I know that many people were you know, became Christians when they were young. Mm-hmm. I was four. I mean, people are young often, especially people who've grown up in the church. I mean, it's hard to grasp something. They see a Christian come in who has just been converted, and there's this fire in them and this mm-hmm. joy and this love. And Christians are looking at them going, boy, I kind of wish I had that. which is good. You know, it's part of the reason why we should be you know, witnessing to others, because we want to see them come to Christ and them have that joy mm-hmm. and that wonder. And we need to find that. How as a pastor, how do you look to people and say, okay, people are saying to you, I know what I believe. I'm a Christian mm-hmm. and I'm dedicated to the church, but I'm just not feeling it.
Yeah. Well, that happens a lot. And there's nothing that a pastor can really do to change someone's feelings about it. Mm-hmm. Right. You do pray for that person. You talk with that person about the concerns about the, you know, the feeling it, so to speak. I think sometimes we have a false idea of what the Christian life ought to feel like. And I think we need to be careful of that. If it is always a constant emotional high, which I think some evangelical circles try to place us in, or place Christianity in, that I think that's going to only lead someone down the wrong direction, because it's not a constant high. There's a lot of sorrow in life, in the Christian life, and there's less sadness. The question that I would want to probe more about is if there are other things in your life. How is your scripture reading? How's your worship attendance in preparation for worship? Things that Bunyan sets out for us here through Christian, such as, you know, your closet prayer. What are your thoughts about God, his death, his resurrection? How are you considering those things in relationship to yourself? Are you curbing your lusts, or are you indulging them? How are you interacting with your own sinful appetites, right? Are you obliging them, saying, you know what, God's good, he'll forgive me.
Yeah.
I'll do it anyway, right?
Well, that's back to the antinomianism.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's antinomianism. That's, you know, without repentance on that, no big deal, right? But that's awful. That's the way, you're not thinking about your sin rightly. Right? I mean, we sing that song, don't think of your sin, but lightly, because doing so, you're not thinking about the cross rightly. You're not thinking about God's love rightly. You're not thinking about the gospel rightly then. So your whole mentality and heart toward the Christianity is now skewed when you are doing this, when you're thinking this way. And, you know, so you can go down this list of nine things here and do it as a heart check, so to speak, occasionally, maybe more often than occasionally. But I mean, if you find yourself just picking at other people's sins and, you know, looking at everyone else's sins and not your own, then you're in trouble, yeah. Right? When you are growing cold to public duty as hearing, reading, godly conference, and the like. What's got godly discussion? When these things don't matter to you, when godly duty, scripture hearing, listening to God's word, listening to the reading of God's word, or reading God's word, and godly conference, I'm guessing that's discourse, godly right. discussions.
Right.
When these things are the like, these are what's wrong. Where's the check? Those are types of things that I would want to inquire about. Because if this is a Christian brother or sister, then, you know, maybe they're fallen, maybe they are backsliding. And backsliding, I don't think necessarily means apostatizing, right?
No, it doesn't necessarily mean right, it's kind that, of leads to
yes,
it.
Yes, that's the language they're using here. But it doesn't necessarily, you know, our confession even talks about, you know, the Christian life going up and down. There are times of backsliding that we can be brought back from. But we don't want to say, oh, you know what, I'm just backsliding now, and I'm just going to stay there for a while. You know, that's not what we do as Christians, right? Usually we're backsliding, we don't realize it. And we need a Christian brother or sister or a pastor or shepherd, elder in the church to help bring us out of the backsliding, because we're not really recognizing it. And you find yourself, as we see ignorant doing, leaving others in the Christian faith. And we're, you know, just maybe hanging out with people that are thinking similarly. I saw this in my own Christian walk with brothers who I knew and loved and were a part of my Christian daily life. Mm-hmm. That they started just hanging out with themselves, not with others. Then they eventually moved in the direction of leaving our local church for another local church. And then they moved from that local church outside of the church, right? Yeah. There was a progression of movement away from those who were close to them to the, and their elders and everything, to another one where people didn't know them as well.
Right.
And then they could just leave from there without any consequence.
Right.
And it was a progressive move from one place to another. And that was so hard to watch and really not even be able to interact with it, because eventually they just, you know, move their whole geographically move themselves away. Yeah. So you see this happening and And this, the degrees of private duties, prayer, watching, sorrow for all, and the like, he says, these things are grave warnings for us, and how to watch ourselves. And, yeah. And I think Bunyan helps us with such things. I don't think we think readily about these things very often. And I think, you know, we attempt to do this from the pulpit on occasion when the appropriate time comes. You know, it's not like every Sunday is driving the stuff down your throat, but we want to challenge Christians that they are being faithful and not betraying the Lord.
We've probably been a little repetitious about that. No, I have, and I think it's because Bunyan brings it out a lot.
He does. He's concerned about that.
Right. It's on his heart. And, you know, something you'd said before about feelings, we're not always going to feel great. We're not always going to feel. That doesn't mean that you're backsliding.
No, absolutely not. You know,
sometimes we had a bad day. It doesn't mean you're backsliding.
And you can be really sad and mournful and weeping and not be backsliding.
Absolutely.
Yeah, certainly.
Absolutely. You might have a bad day and then somebody says, oh, we're getting together. You know, we're going to go watch this Christian movie. I don't know, something. We're going to have an impromptu Bible study.
Something real godly.
And somebody says, yes. And somebody says, you know, well, we're going to get together and do this. So come on over. We're going to talk theology. And you're like, I'm so tired. No, I can't go. You shouldn't feel guilty. You're tired. Go to bed.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's okay. So I don't, you know, there are people that kind of wander around with, am I doing enough? Am I doing enough? And they're afraid to allow any moment of you know, being tired, of being distracted, of they think in some way that in and of itself is weakness, or that they don't love God enough. But the life is up and down. We have good days and bad days, and it doesn't mean that we're backsliding. So we come now, you know, Christian and hopeful when they're moving on, and temporary leaves, obviously, because he's temporary.
Yeah.
And ignorance just, you know what, he's just going to go off by himself because obviously these guys don't get it. And that is, you know, unfortunately, sometimes that's what's going to happen in the church. You'll have people that just walk away or leave and go to a church that where their theology isn't challenged. And, you know, we move on. We look to Christ, and we trust in him that those who have left, that he will care for them and bring them back.
And then thanks for taking the time to be with us on another episode of Theology Simply Profound. You can find us at reformforum.org. We are a listener-supported podcast, and so please go to reformforum.org/donate to find out how you can support not only this podcast, but Reform Forum as a whole. And that includes other shows such as Christ the Center and Proclaiming Christ. Wonderful opportunities to learn about God's Word and His ways. If you're interested in finding out more about the congregation that Rob and I serve, do check out westminsteropc.org. Or for more OPCs in the Chicagoland area, you can go to chicagoreformed.org, and you can find us at all the usual social media outlets. Rob, what's up next time at Reform Forum, at Theology Simply Profound?
Well, next time we're going to go swimming with Christian.
We're going to swim in.
Yeah, we're going to swim in.
All right.
It's
been hot.
We are going to have a special announcement.
Oh. Teaser.
Yeah.
Teaser. We'll see how many people listen all the way to the end. Well, again, thanks for taking the time to be with us on another episode of Theology Simply Profound. Until next time.